You are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay was originally aired on May 22nd, 1987.
My guest this morning is Douglas Whitman, a member of the board of directors of Centers for Nature Education and the editor of its newsletter, Overlook. We're here to discuss this morning, however, is an interest of Doug's that goes back to his late teens. Doug, welcome to The Nature of Things. What are you doing here?
Thank you, John. It's an honor to be here. I'm banding birds.
Oh, how do you band birds?
Preceding the actual banding, the bird must be captured. There are various methods of capture, but I'm using mist nets today. These are 40 feet long and 7 feet high. They're made of very fine polyester netting and are placed in areas where birds frequently fly. Their black color makes them nearly invisible when placed against a background of vegetation, and birds simply fly into them. When a bird hits the net, it carries a small section of the netting in the direction of its flight, forming a pocket of netting around itself. I check the nets about every 30 minutes and remove the birds. Then I band them with this small, lightweight aluminum band which bears a number and an address. The bands are supplied by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and each one has a different number. The band is opened and placed around the leg of the bird. Then I record the species, its age, sex, and take measurements of the length of the wing and the bird's weight. In some species, I take other measurements. Then the bird is released unharmed.
Well, what's the purpose of banding birds?
Well, each bird bander is required by the Fish and Wildlife Service to have approved projects and to work on gathering specific information relating to those projects. I have several. One is to support the educational programs about birds at the Centers for Nature Education here at Baltimore Woods. Since January 3rd, over 350 people have observed the banding. They've gained a greater appreciation for the environment and its protection. Another project I'm gathering information for is to sample the bird life in the ecosystems of Baltimore Woods as a means for determining their relative health. This project will be years in length and will help determine changes and trends in the bird population. I'm also cooperating with other people and projects, helping gather information for their studies. For instance, there has been a trend evolving of blue-winged and golden-winged warblers' habitats, changing and overlapping due apparently to changes in current agricultural practices. In the habitat overlap areas, these two species crossbreed and produce hybrids. Baltimore Woods has habitat for these two species, and I'm helping supply information to the people working on this project. I will also be supplying information to the Cornell Laboratory of Ornithology for projects they have underway there.
Well, that's really impressive, Doug. As one who's had experience with banding birds, I know you have to have a license to do it. Who licenses banding, and how do you obtain the license?
Well, the banding is licensed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the New York State Conservation Department. My license was issued 28 years ago when there were fewer restrictions than there are now, but the procedure is similar. It's necessary to study with active banders who will be responsible for the training and the proper handling, identification, and safety of birds. Proper use of the banding equipment is necessary, and accurate record keeping is very important. A good background knowledge of birds is necessary, and your competence in all these areas must be verified by responsible banders and ornithologists.
Well, we're in the brief time that's left, I know there are a lot of laws and regulations covering banding. Can you give an idea of the restrictions you work under?
Yes. First off, if the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service grants a permit, you must then obtain one from the state or states in which you wish to band. A federal permit and a state permit will indicate special restrictions and authorizations. For instance, I have to be authorized to use mist nets. There are general restrictions for all banders, excluding the banding of hummingbirds, waterfowl, and endangered species. There are banders, of course, who have approved projects for these birds, but that's a special approval. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service supplies each bander with a banding manual. It contains some 400 pages of information and directions that must be understood and practiced.
Thank you, Doug. My guest this morning has been Doug Whitman, who's banding birds down here in Baltimore Woods. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.